Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
This is the Doc Black Dad podcast. My name is Marvin Harrison. Thank you so much for joining us today. Look at that sexy voice coming. Oh my God. We want to sell you things. Please send us your long card number and the expiration date and the security code on the back. Thank you. My name is Marvin Harrison and I'm joined today. We have migration have saved us. Romanta Boeta is returning. She's returning from Amapiano Fest.
You went yesterday.
No, I didn't go. I don't know. He's so problematic because every time Amapiano comes on, he's like, come on, do your dance.
Do your tribal thing.
Wow.
Speak to your ancestors with your shoulders.
To be fair, you do become a choreographer. When any piano starts.
Yeah.
No.
He's like telling people, you're not doing it right.
Why
you're not
you?
Doing it right, Blackie, stop it.
You do. You coached me through several moves when there we went go. To Everyday People.
There you go.
Wow.
So what
this
we,
is not, is, this yeah. is, where's the camera? This is not how I want to be known.
Too late for that.
I feel like, yeah, because you're South African and South Africa is like popping and it's growing and it's cultural ascension in the diaspora to the fifth place in the diaspora charts, yeah? Mm-hmm. You now get into the place of where you become the like orator.
Ambassador
of anything South African. So people just come up to you and just be like, I'm a piano. And I just mean, stare at you.
The racism Tyler that said, we've gone in with sorry. Straight away here on this
the
podcast.
The racism.
Yeah, yeah.
Absolutely.
Tyler South Africa's not a race, so it cannot be.
Tyler is coloured. Explain.
Wow.
Whoa.
Okay. He's not even easing wow. anyone into no. it, you know?
Also, if you say that to her, that's 20 minutes gone on the podcast.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I was like, that's a lot.
That's a lot. Yo. That's
I didn't come here for this.
It is, yeah.
Keep it light.
So welcome back, Romantha. So good to have you.
Thank you.
Also, we have Darwood. Darwood's returned. Thank you. Hi, Darwood.
Hi there.
How are you doing? You're not allowed to miss postcards, you bro.
I know. Yeah. I messed up and got my days mixed up.
Oh, okay.
I started relying on technology.
Rather than the moon.
Yeah. Basically, if you know me, I live up in the clouds. So, yeah.
Darwood, thank you so much for joining us. Welcome back.
Well, thank you for having me. I almost got married, then I got rebuffed.
Ooh, awkward. Speaking of which, the proposal
that
was
is
rebuffed
not a good segue.
By...
Not a good segue.
Why did you reject me? Just like my mother. So, hi.
Hello.
Hi, Scarlett. How are you doing?
Well, I'm good. So, wait, your mother rejected Darwood?
No, I was being
wow.
Darwood.
Wow. 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 A lot happening.
Let's unpack that. So, let's unpack that.
I'm off.
Let's unpack that.
Yo. Normally when people say your mum, you got to throw.
We're doing your mum jokes in everything.
Yo, you got to throw your pencil down. Dash your pencil case and take your blazer off. It's on.
This is the energy that I bring to the podcast.
Oh, wow. Filth.
I was going to say, because, yeah. This
is, I know the last podcast it's different. Appeared on.
I feel like, Scarlett, you were very disrespectful just then. I think... Everybody, welcome Scarlett Douglas. Thank you so much for joining us.
Hi.
Hopefully today she's not cussing anybody out for being late. We'll talk about that another time. Mm. Also joined again. But a handsome, grey-bearded, voice of the BBC.
Ooh.
Of the England Queen.
Okay.
You know, I've
Neil Doughty, how are you doing?
Recorded. Sorry, say his name again, but I still got a recording of him saying, and next on, don't let that.
Yes, we do. From you did our voiceover when we did the BBC after EastEnders.
Yeah. Yes, I did. Yeah.
You didn't join the actual episode, but it's fine. Oh. We don't need you.
I rarely get the call.
Oh, yeah. Here we go. What's up? Everyone's a bit spicy today, isn't it? Someone needs to hand out hugs.
My please.
So with Neo Dottie, how are you doing?
I am very well, thank you very much.
So you're wearing the beads that Dar was normally wearing. What are these ethnic beads that you're wearing and how do we sell them to white people? Go.
Not ethnic.
How do we tell them that it has healing properties like it's yoga pants? How do we sell it?
Over to you, Darwood.
I don't know. You know what? The more we wear it, the more they'll take it over.
Oh.
The thing is, you're not wrong.
There's a lot happening here.
You're not wrong.
Wow. All right. Well, that
I wasn't ready for this one, you know.
Nope.
Really wasn't.
Well, let's move on quickly before white people start taking stuff from us.
Again.
I need everything I've acquired. Thank you.
They probably hit pause in the thing. I was just joking. It was a joke. I promise. Wait. I was just joking, Tom's.
Yeah. Tom's.
Oh, man. Right. So today I wanted to talk about having children. Yeah?
Mm.
It's a really important conversation because three of us have had children. One of us is open to having children. One of us isn't. So we have a right mix around the table. We call it democracy.
Oh.
It's very Greek of us.
Mm.
For me, I had children at 32, 31. Jesus, I don't even remember. It was so much trauma. I don't remember the time.
It was so long ago.
I was 31 years old and I had children. It's very intentional. So I think at the time, my mother's children, she had a best friend and a cousin. And they had children literally within the 6 months before. And I was like, look, man, it's time. Give me your womb. No, joking. No, I do think it's important. Hey, just, you know, we were married. It was fine. You could do it. But the most important thing is I was ready. She had questions about wanting to be more stable and more. And I was like, cool, but give me the list of things and I'm going to go and do them. And then we're going to go have some children because I want to be a dad. So it was a lifelong ambition for me. But I know a lot of people didn't necessarily have that level of intention.
Yeah.
And so it just happened to some people. And I think I think there's like a time when you are in the phase of having kids. It's like a kid's time. And then I think when you get out of that, it just gets really, really hard. I know some of my friends who were like late 30s, early 40s, who are just like, I now have to come to terms with maybe not having children now because it's not that I don't want to, but it's actually too hard to probably try and make it happen. I got to force a relationship. I'm fighting biological clocks. And I think between all of those things, that pressure creates just an unhappiness.
Mm.
Like you're no longer even enjoying the process. So I think like everyone's in a different place of journey. When did you have your kids, Darwin?
Had my first son when I was 24 going on 25 and he's 22 year old now, so you can work out my age.
So he's basically almost at the time when you were considering it.
I wanted to be a dad at that time. It was my idea, but I didn't discuss it with his mum.
Explain, what does that sound like to everybody else? That knee's not breathing. If you're gonna die, tap the table so we know to pause the recording. If you're just in shock, it's fine.
As you said, it was in the 90s. Well, no, uh-huh. It was in the early noughties. So I don't want to be problematic, but if you're going to bed without your shields.
Yeah, shields.
Shields up.
Your shields up.
And whatnot. And you're both consenting to no one going in there with shields. And you're doing fire in the holes. Someone's going to get pregnant.
Hold on a second. Is shields a condom?
Yes.
Or is shields her saying no?
Whoa.
He did say they don't want to be problematic.
Yeah, I know. So I want to know what scale
you're talking about. No. It was a loving relationship.
Okay, cool.
I would never, like, one of the things I'm most fearful of in this life is taken from a woman without consent.
Cool. Just for clarity terms.
No condoms. Bare back.
Okay, cool.
Wow.
No rubbers.
Okay.
Let me spell it out.
That's our sponsors gone.
Yeah.
All 12 of them have now pulled out. It's just us.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't pull out.
Clearly. Oh, wow. Jesus Christ.
I have a 22-year-old.
Wow. There's a lot happening.
Yeah. And then I've also got a 4-year-old. Yeah. Again, I didn't pull out.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is that a strategy?
but not pulling out. It's a stupid strategy.
No, but it's a strategy. So do you secretly look at it and be like, that I wanted a family and I wanted more children and my partners did or didn't? Did you have a conversation with your
I didn't have a conversation with either of them.
And then, so what was the actual thinking in terms of her specifically being someone you want to have children with?
All right. They were really good women. They are really good women. And also, if you can accept who I am in totality, because my child will be that plus you.
They can love you fully, they can love your child fully.
Yeah.
And why did you not have, why did you choose not to have it inside a vehicle like a marriage or
I would
more
have.
Formal?
I would have if I had, like, I proposed to someone earlier and that's still on the table.
Wow.
With kids.
Oh, I didn't know that kids were included. I throw it in.
Oh, yeah. Now you know. Yeah. Okay.
He's
okay.
Nigerian.
By the way, this proposal was just so I could go and watch Prodigy on Friday.
Literally.
You want to sit here?
My relatives.
No, uncle. This is better because she could see me.
Strategy.
Yeah, look. Me too, I've got great beard. I know the effect bears have on women.
I don't think me too is a great piece of language now.
I know. But anyway, jokes aside.
So sponsors, just so you know that I technically didn't consent to any of this. Please feel free to send me briefs. I would love to.
Even though I perpetuated it, I didn't consent to it either.
Okay, cool. What about you, Nee?
Forgot what the question was.
you have two children, yeah, consensually, with your partner.
With your wife.
Mm-hmm. With your wife. At what point did you decide that children was the answer? What was happening in and amongst your life and surroundings?
So that was...
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promoting for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet Plush Care, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
No, I've been together for like over 20 years now. So that was about 10 years, 11 years ago, we had our first child. And it was, yeah, it was very, very intentional. When we decided that we were going to have a child, we then struggled to have a child. And that actually, both of us just kind of threw us off course, because it was like, a lot of people think you're just going to have a child. So you just go and have a child. And I think it's actually a conversation that we don't have enough on, talking about fertility for both men and women.
Yeah.
Mm. And so we had to go on this fertility journey. And I always say that we were one of the lucky ones. So we were like a week away from our first, I don't even know, she knows all the details. The first appointment that you go when you're doing...
IVF,
thank you. and then it happened naturally. And so we had a very long, emotional, traumatic journey up until that point.
May I ask how long that journey was?
18 months.
Okay.
Wow. 18 months, between a year and 18 months. And there was a lot of low. I would say that probably our lowest lows of our relationship came in that period, because there was a point where we had to sit and really sit with the idea of, actually, we may not have children. Mm. And that was never a part of the plan. We were always going to have children. Mm. And so then having to kind of even just wrestle with that idea, it was, yeah, definitely like one of the most traumatic parts of our relationship. Mm. But 11 years down the line, 11-year-old, a 10-year-old.
And can I ask how old you were? Sorry, I've got so many questions.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
When you were first trying.
That's right, I'll just hang back here. Sorry.
You just go off to the corner.
So many questions. Or Marvin, if you could maybe ask me how old they were.
Make him feel wanted. Make him feel wanted.
Sorry, Skylar, I'm joking. Go on.
I was 32 when Akai was born. Mm. So it started around 30.
Okay.
Yeah,
and yeah. Your wife's the same sort of age?
Yeah, same age as me. Okay. I wish she was here because number one, her memory is much better than mine. But number two, she just knows the everything inside and out. Mm. I do feel a little bit guilty sometimes when I talk about it, because for the most part, I feel like I, even though we wanted the thing equally, mm-hmm. where she was just, I mean, obviously it's her body as well, going for it. She was the driver. She drove everything. And my wife is also a very, very intelligent woman. And so I was just quite happy to, all right, so we've got to do this. All right, cool, we'll do this, we'll do that. And then I just remember we got to a point where everything felt a little bit too technical for me. Mm. We're going to do this at that point like this.
Like a scheduled
yeah,
for
yeah.
And intimacy.
And when she watches this, we'll sit and we'll watch it together. And at this point, she can look over and just roll her eyes at me. Is that one of the things that I did say through the process is just like, can we just relax? Mm. Like, let's just relax a little bit. And I think what happened was is that when we submitted to the fact of like, okay, we're going on this IVF journey. It's not something we wanted to do, mm. not something we planned for, but we're going on this journey. And I think once we submitted to that, we both became more relaxed. Mm. And so then after that, sex wasn't, oh, okay. It was like, I want you, you want me, let's go. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And then the thing happened. Mm. So, yeah.
That's powerful.
And back to back as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Beautifully. I mean, well, the funny thing about that was, so after the first child was born, we were like, okay, so we accept that we're just that couple that can't conceive easily. Because, you know, in terms of changing our diet, supplements, all of that, we were doing all of that. So we were like, all right, so when we want to go for number two, we know the regime that we need to put ourselves on to do that. And so in that time after number one, we're just enjoying. And boom, it happened.
Mm. Boom.
Without any, you know what I mean? And so that's why the gap is so close. But mm. I also wouldn't change. I think it's probably the best thing that we ever did, having that gap being so small. Because, mm. you know, you see the boys together, they're just, yeah.
Like you documented your journey, and up until then it was just inconceivable to my mind that people and couples would go through this to have mm. children. Mm. Like it just weren't on my radar, mm. and you documented it so well that like I was like, oh, I thought I knew you guys, but then seeing that, and I was like, I'm glad it was a couple like you that could go through that, because there was no fallout. And because I met you as a couple, mm. and how strong you were, like you are a definition of black goals easily. Mm. And then to get through such a serious thing and come out at the end of it mm. in such a beautiful way.
Thank you. Mm.
So, yeah. You know what, that's so interesting, because I think you get this a lot where people say you're black goals and stuff. I know you hate it. I sense the energy.
I appreciate the... Yeah.
But that's how we met when we were young.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So.
Yeah.
But I do think it's good to contextualize it, because I think it's not about you being like the shiny perfection couple who like go around and do red carpets. Mm. It's just about making it at this point. Mm. Like, I think many of us just respect the fact people can do 10, 15, 20 years, and that dream of being together for a lifetime is even possible. Mm. And that's not to put pressure on you or to like hold you up into this super high esteem and make it uncomfortable. Mm. It's really just a mirror of what you have done, irrespective of like where you are. Like even mm. you said that last podcast, that it's been challenging at times. Mm. Like we all know this, because if you're in a relationship, that's one thing you can't escape.
Yeah. Mm.
But the fact that you're still together and you're now into sort of 20-year numbers, we just appreciate it. Because we all need a vision to be able to say to do that. Mm. Otherwise, just to keep, you know, staying on dating apps when we're 50.
I just want to clarify that, because I didn't like the way it came out of my mouth when I said that, when you said it, and I said, I hate it. Mm. Yeah.
No, the definition, not the definition, what it's called.
Yeah, no, it's because what it is I remember years ago, I got a message from somebody on Facebook, and I think I must have posted a picture of the family, and they were like, oh, I look up to you, da da da, this, that, and the other. And a relative stranger, so you feel that pressure anyway. But then also, because every time I have an argument or a disagreement with my wife, I don't post it on Facebook. Mm. You guys understand 100%. You're getting the best of us.
Yeah. You didn't see when I cussed her out the other day.
Do you see what I'm saying? You don't see my face when I have to pull out her hair from the bathroom plug and thinking, why
to be
all
fair,
of them things.
Like, but to be fair, like, I'm if so you look you at someone that plug, that put all their arguments out,
and not just pull out her hair.
And I was like, I'm so glad you said pull out from the plug. I was like, hey.
Sorry.
But you can see what's happening with Will and Jada about putting your whole relationship on display and whatnot, like, and the flat that they're getting, but no one's looking at the fact that they're still together. Yeah. They've worked through things. Yeah. That's that real headline. Like, they're working through things and they're showing us that you can get through difficult moments in your relationship, and that often gets missed.
I think it's so important. I know you're like, I don't want to be in the spotlight. I don't want to be known as that person who's the ambassador for, you know, people who have gone through things like this. But it's so important that it's out there, because people, this is like a shame element for a lot of people, for men, for women. But also you have the added on pressure from the extended family and the family in law. When are my grandkids coming? All of those things.
Yeah.
So it's not just like the public. It's also like family. Yeah. And I wanted to know, like, did you guys get pressure when you were trying? Were you outright, like, honest with the family and saying we had issues and we're trying?
So my mum knew, her mum knew. There were people very, very close to me who didn't know. And then after it happened, and then I felt like I could talk about it, they were like, oh, yeah, I went through that as well. And you're like, wow, damn,
yeah,
like, why are we not talking?
There's a silence around it.
And so a few years back now, Nana and I did a podcast about it. It's still online, for heaven's sake. It's on Spotify, you can listen to it.
Yeah, that's how I knew about the journey.
Yeah. And that as well, doing that podcast and receiving messages from men and women, but in particular receiving messages from men just saying thank you. And then you're like, oh, so, I mean, I never really had an issue talking about it, and I don't have an issue talking about it, but getting those messages from all of these random guys just saying thank you, I'm like, yeah, so really, there's a lot of people that are going through this thing, but in the same way that when I was going through it, I didn't speak to anybody. Even when I finally spoke to my mum about it, I was like, yo, this is long.
It's crazy.
Like, yeah, but how am I talking to my mum about this? But you know, and then she's also got the Ghanaian remedies of you have to eat this, you have to eat that.
What are those things? Because I know that, you know, that's why people, and I encourage everyone who's listening to not ask people, oh, when are you having a baby, or when is the baby coming?
That was
because that's the most intrusive personal question that you could ask anyone.
Yeah.
It's just, oh, when are you guys having babies? Or when's your turn? You're getting older now.
Yeah,
and we kind of accept it from like older, you know, African parents and Caribbean parents, because we're like, it's just auntie asking. But it's so triggering for people who are struggling.
Yeah. I don't, so we, you know, that we got to a period where, especially with her, if there was a family party coming up, she'd like, not doing it. Because you know that the intentions are good, especially from the older generation, that, you know, but it's a lot.
Yeah.
It's a lot, because, hey, where's the kids? Mm. And you're like, well, actually, we're going through a process, right? You know, and nobody thinks like that. And especially that generation as well, where I just think like it probably wasn't as much as a thing. Maybe it was, and they never spoke about it. I don't know.
Yeah.
But yeah, so it was a lot. And then, especially then, when you also move into a phase where a lot of people in your friendship circle are now having children. Mm. And again, a close friend of mine, had a child, and not long after that, he's like, "Yo, what you doing, man? Hurry up, man!" Da-da-da. And I'm like, "Yeah, okay." Mm-hmm. And don't get me wrong, I love him to bits, but I remember that hurt. That burned me. That burned me.
Did it ruin your affinity to him for a period of time?
Not at all. Like, because I, you know, when you're going through something and then you understand that actually these people won't understand.
Mm.
And so it was never in me to be like, oh, you, because I just, you just don't get it because you've been blessed not to go through it.
Yeah.
So it felt, it would have felt wrong of me to, you know, to then be like, look at this, what not have
you.
I'm
guessing you wouldn't have been malicious about it.
And it wasn't malicious. Yeah. It was like, you know what it is? If I wasn't going through it and I had a child, I might have made the same joke to him.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's the relationship. Yeah. So it's like I can't be mad about that. But it hurts.
Mm.
It hurts.
Scarlett, what's your vision for family as a fine, dark-skinned black one that we want to put on the market?
Multiple
already had a marriage proposal from over there.
I know. Mm-hmm.
What's going to be sayings, man?
So I absolutely want to have kids. And I have been through a period where I'm not sure. I think, yeah, I definitely want to have kids. And I'm like, actually, I don't know because I quite like my life how it is. I like to travel around the world. I've got my house. It's immaculate. I don't need kids with their little chocolate fingers touching my cream couch. like, literally, my nieces and nephews come round and I just cover the couches. I'm like, do not touch anything. Don't even look at anything other than the television. I don't want to hear you. But I love them. Like, I love kids. I absolutely love being around kids. And I have even mentioned to my brothers, I'm not sure if I want to be a mum. And they've always said, you should totally be a mum because you'd be a great mum. And that's really nice to hear.
I've known you 5 minutes and I know that to be true.
Oh, well, thank you very much.
That's not even a move. That's real.
But I'm very much at a stage now where I'm 36. I know I look young. Thank you, everybody.
What cream do you use?
Hey, Kiehl's, actually.
Oh, well.
Yeah, maybe you can
expensive.
Get
you can't afford it.
No?
Okay, cool. Do you have £68 for a tub of cream?
I'm using my sister's shea butter.
So if we stop using Vaseline then?
Hey!
It's so old school.
Poverty is over now.
Yeah. So old school.
That's a petroleum jelly.
Were any of you, I don't know if this happened with ladies, but were any of you two like the kid that turned up to school?
Yeah, absolutely.
That was me. Yeah. Yeah.
Olive oil.
My mom used to give me olive oil when there was no cream. Mad thing. The fact that we even had olive oil was like, you know,
it's delicate. Weird finding out how Jamaican households were so similar to African households. Cause
we all got shipped in different directions, but the customs are the same.
Bathed in Dettol as well.
Yeah, yes. Yeah. That was standard.
Yes.
To the point, that smell meant that
I
was
hate that smell.
I would never
I hate
do that,
that smell.
Dettol, yeah.
What does it achieve,
it's
though?
Crazy. Nothing. It's just crazy.
Because kids are full of germs, that's why.
That's what it is, isn't it? It's antiseptic.
Nah. Dettol sold people a dream.
Yeah.
And said, clean your people with this to sell
clean
more bottles of Dettol.
Losing 2 layers
Dettol
of skin.
Dettol is not in modern black households now.
Yeah, nah.
But I know if I go to my mum's house, I'm seeing Dettol in there.
That their 7% market share is what is happening. 100%.
100%. When they started seeing it dwindling, they had no ideas how to market this to a new young crowd.
Even during COVID. Kills COVID.
Yeah. Mm. No, so they marketed it different. Like, you spray it on stuff. So you was telling me to bath my children.
And it also kills COVID.
Sorry, we interrupted.
Sorry, go ahead, continue.
It's fine.
The COVID killers. It's like, AKA black killers. It's like,
It'll be, you know, I need to find that from my other friends from other races if they had this in their
house. No, Tommy did not have Dettol in his house.
No?
He didn't buy it.
They had it. They just went bathing in it.
He used to clean the floor like everybody else. Yo, why people trying to get us, you know? You're like, you're overpopulated. Here's some products.
That is so wrong.
Yo, whoever's editing this, put Dettol on the screen. Let people know what it is. Free advert for them one time.
Next series will be sponsored
Sorry, Scarlett. You were talking about the very heavy, the heavy topic of your views on family.
Sorry, as soon as you said it, I just got trauma back to my childhood. My mum used to slap my face with Vaseline. Mm-hmm. Like, why?
Oh,
but it's making a comeback, Vaseline, and putting it on your face. They call it
Caking?
Ceiling. Anyway, there's a...
All right.
It's making a comeback. How about that? Okay, so yes, so I'm 36. Thank God Dettol has not done anything too bad to my skin to date. But yeah, I'm definitely at a point now where I'm having complications as a woman, which in terms of fertility, I hope my fertility is fine. Any fertility test I've done has stated that for my age, I have the right amount of eggs, et cetera, et cetera. But you do get to a point where you're like, every month now I'm having a period. I'm like, oh, that's a set of egg reserves that are now going and dying, and it's going to keep happening. So as much as I'm not freaking out and be like, I need a man, so you need to have a kid right now, if it doesn't happen for me, it doesn't happen for me. Maybe I'll adopt, or it's something I can look at a later date. But right now it's very much, I have health issues that I have to look into. I might as well talk about it, because I think it's important that we speak about it again. Otherwise it will be silenced and we never get to express, and other people might be, or other women might be going through the same thing. So I have fibroids that I found out, two little ones, which definitely something is going on. Over the last kind of 6 months, I've noticed in between periods, I'm spotting a lot more and it's worrying me. And I've spoken to my doctor. I've got an appointment with a gynecologist. Another thing that I think as women, we don't really do. We don't book and go and see a gynecologist and have like a check, a feminine check. And as far as I know right now, I would still be able to have children, but I don't know the speed that these fibroids might grow. I don't know if I'll have to have a hysterectomy or have, I can't remember what it's called when you have the fibroids removed. I don't really know exactly where I'm at until I can speak to somebody that's either been through the same process or speak to a professional.
So my wife had fibroids. Right.
My younger son's mom had fibroids.
Yeah.
See, it's very common to talk about, and especially within black women.
She reduced hers. I would really love you to speak to her.
I would love that as well.
So she reduced hers through a combination of things, supplements, teas and whatnot have you. And she really, like when she went back to the doctor, he was like, kind of like, wow, how did that happen? So
yeah,
I would
definitely
love to.
Then, please. That would be great. Thank you. But it is a topic where I'm like, I'm starting to see someone now. Sorry, Darwood.
Wow.
I've been fighting this all morning.
Just the weight was dropped.
I'm hurting. I was hurting from before we came into this podcast. And then I'm doubly hurting, but I'm okay now because she apologized.
Okay.
No, but she brought him back up again. That means it's
No. She told she used him to rebuff me in the beginning.
Yeah, but that's normally a tactic. And now she's saying it as like fact. It's happening.
Yeah, but what she's offering with her boyfriend.
I'm so sorry.
Sorry, Scarlett.
I'm offering her husband.
Well, I'm just trying to reconcile with my friend, so it's okay.
Let's move. So long story short, I actually had a conversation with him. I was like, I know that you want to have children. I want to have children. But I'm also in a situation right now where I don't know my body situation. So if that means for you, you don't want to take that risk and you want to move on, that's fine. We're not that deep into it. I like you, you like me, but I don't want to hold you back from something that you might potentially not be able to have the normal conventional way. And I remember him kind of being like, I really appreciate that you've said this to me, but actually I'm very aware now that that's probably going to be my situation, because all of his friends around him are also going through the same thing, or they've had those issues with their partners and they've either had to do IVF or whatever else they've had to do to now have their children. So it's like, it's something that I just feel as though I will have to go through, and I want this to continue. So I'm not going to walk away from something because of a potential thing that may or may not happen.
Yeah.
I was like, I really appreciate that. But for me, I'm thinking I could be a burden to you and I don't want to be a burden. And maybe that's the wrong way of looking at it. But if we are quite early on in our relationship stage, I'm going to give you that option if you want to walk away.
It's not sad. It's a stark, honest realization that better conversations need to happen in relationships at the beginning. And actually, I just feel like if we were all a little bit honest at the beginning, it would be much better for our relationship, also for ourselves. I think too often we kind of dive into the concept of relationship, marriage, being a parent, but we never talk about the practical elements, like who is the person I'm doing this with? And it kind of speaks volumes that you created a little mini door for him to walk through, and he didn't walk through it.
Yeah,
which is beautiful.
Smart man.
Thing is, I've already met him, so Darwood, you had no chance. But the whole point is,
that's cool. I'm already starting to become a fan. Yeah,
invite him on the podcast. We'll have a chat. Yeah.
Yes, please. Yeah, I'm already a fan. I'll apologize for trying it. To be fair, if we're going to discuss it, I did it on air, but Charlotte knows it was just for Scarlett knows. Okay. So, yeah, I'm
that's a wrap.
That's a red flag. Yeah. But I was only offering it for one night.
Just to go and see the prodigy on Friday.
I'm sure there's other consensual ways to do that. Maybe ask.
Yeah. It feels like that.
No, because she said her boyfriend was going and I was trying to find the angle. But I knew I weren't going to be going.
So. Okay.
I think Ticketmaster is still selling tickets.
Wow. So, sorry. By the way, yeah.
I deserve that.
When we went to Antigua, me and Scarlett went to Antigua in August, okay? And so it was two women. I was going to say it's three women, including me. That's how you know I have problems.
Is that a Freudian slip?
No, I was visualizing the back of the bus and I was thinking that so there was two women and four men. Mm-hmm. There were other people on the trip, but we don't talk about them. wait. Stop it. Cut that out. So there was two women and about five men on this coach, and we were traveling around, and somebody needed to be the designated whooper of asses. And Scarlett nominated herself to be this person to keep us in shape and in order. Yes. So imagine that energy.
Yeah.
For 5 days straight.
Excellent.
Without filter. So I was bussing up because there was one point where someone came in late. Let's say we have to meet at top of the hour and now it's 20 minutes past. And the person that you see we waited 20 minutes for is walking towards you, like on their phone, head down, like
slow,
dragging their feet a little bit. And then she exhaled.
Just like loudly.
Any man that's been in a successful or unsuccessful relationship knows what that exhale, when it's coming out of the nose and mouth at the same time, that this is not going to go well.
Yeah.
And then it proceeded with this mumble under the breath of, I have to say something. And then I'm at the back in the corner, which was my safe space. And I look up and in my head, I was like, I don't think that's a good idea.
Yeah.
and then someone else said something. She said, No. I think I have to say something because if I don't say something, it's going to make me frustrated. It's better that I say this and I feel the feelings myself. I was like, these are profound therapeutic understandings. I was like, cool, you express yourself. And then, you know, when someone gets in the car and you say how you feel, and then the guy just went, all right, sorry, Scarlett. And it just killed. It just was like, and then she was like, because like, I just really feel like I had to wait here and everybody knows the rules and everybody knows the times. And then he just went quiet, like, I just left it dead.
Yep.
She was on fire.
But you know what?
Why didn't you come and interrupt the session before this?
I could have done, but the door was locked.
Because you guys were waiting.
That. We needed you.
Can you keep your personal grabs to yourself, please? We were recording professional
but
podcasts.
In terms of timing, though, like, you know, it's disrespectful to people if you're wasting their time.
Mm-hmm.
Waste your own time, but there's a group of us. We've already missed activities that I was looking forward to doing.
Speak
other
it.
Other people were late.
Speak it.
So Starfish. We are now on dot.
Stingray
City, which I love. We didn't get to do that. Be late on your own time, but when there's a whole bus full of people waiting to do cool things, just be on time.
Mm.
It's day five and I've moaned every single day. So surely just be on time so I don't moan.
Surely.
Anyway.
So, Ramanta, what is your view on family? How do you look at it?
Mine is opposite to everyone on the table.
Mm.
I think in my 20s, maybe late teens, I accepted that I was going to have children. So you're just like, oh yeah, one day I'm going to be a mom. You know, I never looked myself in the mirror and asked, do I want children? And why do I want children?
Mm.
So the first question came gradually in my 20s when my friends were having children and, you know, I'm sort of having sex and it's like, do I want children? So that was the first one. And then I was like, sure, I want children. I like children, right? Why wouldn't I want? I'm not a bad person. I want children, right?
Mm.
So the first one was kind of like I guess. And then as I got older and I was like really questioning things I was doing to myself, for other people, I was like, why? But why though? Just if I can answer that one, then I know. Because the first one is a maybe. First one is like, yeah, sure. But why do I want children? And I couldn't answer myself honestly without sounding like what I've been told.
Mm.
Yeah.
You know, you should continue the generational name. And I have gripes with like my surname as it is, because it's a very colonial surname. So for me, it's like marriage and kids were never, because of my gripe with like my history, I was just like, marriage, why would I want to, I mean, I take someone else's surname, I don't really care, but why would I hand that surname over to someone else? So really, and for women and men, it's different, right? For men, it's like, oh, it's my lineage, I want my surname to live on past when I'm dead. For women, it's not the same because we end up marrying in most occasions. Yeah. So I have my mom's name, so it wasn't even the case for me. However, I got to the second question, why do I want children? And I couldn't answer it for myself. And I asked other people who have children, like, why did you want children? And their reasons to me didn't resonate. I'm like, but I don't resonate with that. Mm. Why do you want children? I don't resonate with that. Why do you want children? So every single person that gave me an answer, I knew that this was a big step somehow. I knew this was like, I can't just go into it eventually and be like, oh yeah, I had a kid. No, it's just, I knew that this was something that I had to think about. And because I couldn't come up with answers for myself, I had reserved to not doing it because it felt like it was just something I was supposed to do. Mm. And I mean, kids is not even the only thing that I was questioning. Marriage was the other one. And I'm like, what is it out of marriage that I want that I can't get out of a long-term committed relationship? Mm. Like, what's the difference there? And even until today, I still didn't have an answer. Maybe for like legal purposes or like practical purposes, for financial purposes. But if I can't do it another way, like, why am I doing it this way? Mm. So I think I've just gone through my life like questioning why. And with children, it's just so crazy because just like people are saying, oh, when are you having kids? I get the same. And if I say, no, I'm not having them,
so
they're judging you.
Yeah.
What do you mean?
What do you mean?
Can't you have children? And I'm like, I probably can.
I just don't want
them. I just don't want them. And then I get this look as if I hate children. Mm-hmm. And I love children. I just want to be the auntie, the cool aunt that like comes in, spoils the kids, babysits kids. Mm-hmm. That's me. Mm. I love kids. I really, really do. But I feel like society feels like you're an evil person. You're a selfish person. Selfish, I've heard. Mm-hmm. Selfish. And yes, I am selfish because I'm making this decision based off of my own personal reasons and not because...
Someone else is telling me to do it.
Yeah. But it's also interesting when it comes to dating because I do feel like children and masculinity are so intertwined for men. So for men, it's like, you know, yeah, I'm a father. That just ups my masculinity even more or my status as a man. And so maybe you guys can speak to that, children and masculinity 100%. And what it equals to be a man. But for us, it's the same and it's probably worse because it's just expected that it's going to happen. Mm. And so my mom is finding it really hard. It's been almost 10 years now of telling her it's not going to happen. Asking,
how is that selfish? You doing something for yourself.
Well, you think that, right?
You would think that. But people really do think that people who don't want children.
But do you think it's selfish?
No. Okay. No. Yeah. I don't think it's selfish. I do think it's self-care and self-awareness that I know I cannot put myself in a situation that I haven't bought into.
Yeah.
I haven't bought into kids. I haven't. So love them, but it's not my journey and it's not everyone's journey. And I think that was my question as well. Like, is it everyone's journey just because I'm a woman and I have a womb?
I really hope you get to a place where you don't care for anyone's answer when you...
Oh, I really don't.
Like, literally not even...
No, I really don't.
Like, where you shut down and just like, cool, I'm not going to deal with your ignorance.
Yeah. So what I do is... Yeah. When people come to me and they're like, but why? Oh my God. So the same thing that you said to Scarlett, I met you and I knew we were going to be a good mother. You don't know that.
This is true.
You don't know that. Mm. But beautiful women get it all the time.
In terms of personality.
I want to tell you
this. Because I think of
from
the
my
same
experience.
Of, same of you in terms of just your personality.
But you know me.
And I know from your personality, I've never seen you with kids, but I know that you'd be a great aunt and you'd be a great mum.
Yeah.
Because there's just the energy, this loving energy that I associate with motherhood because of my mum. Mm. And then watching people with great mums and how mums maneuver.
But do you know why that's still a challenge?
It's 100%. I understand to be corrected.
It doesn't
always transfer.
And also women who are a lot more warm and soft-spoken and nurturing are seen as good mothers versus women who are boss-ass women, very straightforward, to the point. They're never seen as good mothers.
I've got to say this, because my mum's on this business thing, like she gets up, she goes, she's very driven, she doesn't wait for a man, she's on it. And that's how I see good mothers. So when I meet women that are go-getters and blah, 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 and they take care of shit, I think that equates to being a good mum.
The interesting thing I wanted to say...
Because you're not going to wait on somebody. You're going to do whatever it takes to look after your personal interest. Mm-hmm. And if that is a child, you will extend that courtesy to the child. So that's what's in my mind. So it's not coming from prototype, stereotypical version of motherhood. It's more from watching great women execute great motherhood.
What's your thoughts on that, Ro?
I wanted to say, sorry, I actually wanted to make a different point.
Yeah, please.
My point was that, so now I go and I go on a first date with someone, and or second date or whatever. Eventually we get to like, oh, do you want kids? How many? And it's not, do you want kids? How many kids do you want one day? Mm. And I'm like, no, it's not
that question
for me.
Asked before or after?
After what?
Relations.
Dawood, after what?
After relations. No, because I know why I would ask such a stupid question like that.
Yes. You know it is. I really need adult words on this podcast because all the pre-adult words sound worse than the actual word.
Oh, bloody hell.
So it doesn't matter when the conversation happens, but when it does happen, it's, oh, when do you want children? And I'll be like, no, it's not my portion. And it seems as if, and this might be because I'm from the continent of Africa, right? So men are very traditional. Like I said, masculinity, manhood, children. Mm. So I can offer you two things in this world. It's marriage and children. And you can't get them without me. So this is me. Look at me. You know,
I've never looked at it like
right?
that.
Right?
We got up the offering,
since that's not my portion... and they're like, what about marriage? And if I'm like, I mean, it's neither here nor there, but not really. I can see the wheels turning because it's like,
what am I bringing?
Oh, shit. So you just want me.
What have I got to offer?
So you just want me and not the baby making machine, not the person that's going to up your status in the world of womanhood by putting a ring on it. Not, you don't want that. So you just want me? Oh, shit. You know, it just, I can see in most heads, there's like a why? Like, well, oh, you'll change your mind. You just haven't met the right man. Or you just...
But I do think that there is that thing of like, as a man, you become somebody that is worthy of marrying based on very capitalistic, Eurocentric ideas. So it's like, I got money and I have... And I offer those two things to you
That's
in
true.
Exchange for your commitment to me above all else, regardless of my behavior. Mm. Yeah. And the second those things aren't the offering, and I actually have to check for you, now you got to develop your character. The underdeveloped side of you is now on show.
Yeah.
And I think often that's the part of that's really challenging because it's like, oh, you want me. Mm-hmm. And what's really interesting is that I only accept people who are into me. Mm-hmm. The things that I have and the things that I can do, I don't accept as a selling point. Yeah. And so whenever I find somebody leaning into those things, I just reject them outright because I think it's confusing. Like and I feel like maybe this is just where I'm just always been different is I know what I can do and that will never change. Like, even if you, and anyone knows that's been around me long enough, if I'm on holiday, I will start a business on holiday. Yeah. I will see what's happening in the hotel and be like, you know what you're missing? Mm. And then before you know it, I have a person in my mind, a service that I can promote and sell on this holiday. And everyone's just looking at me like, bruv, do you not switch off? No.
No.
So I know that I can provide that already. So that doesn't then become something that I measure. But I've been in relationships where I didn't matter.
Yeah,
like I'm unwell, and they're like, "Oh, you figure it out." Like that kind of energy.
But can I take your card?
Yeah, like it's like,
oh,
could you just transfer over 1,000? The bills are due. Like that type of relationship, I've been in that, and you have to sit there and think to yourself, "How did I get here?" So I do really get what you're saying in that regard, but I do think it's also quite interesting. And excuse me for like presenting it in this way, but like, who are you as a woman if you're not a mother and a wife?
That's true. I think men can ask themselves, what does it mean to be a man? And, you know, a part of it is, you know, having children and stuff. And the same for women. But we don't really ask that question to ourselves.
Mm.
We don't really ask, who am I outside of marriage, outside of children? Who am I? Because I think a lot of our identity is made up of, how will you be as a mother? How will you be as a wife? You're trained like that from early on, from the... You don't even know that you're being trained for it. You don't even know that you're being...
baby doll toys.
Exactly. You don't even know that you're being trained and geared towards those things. So if you take those things away, what do you teach your children? Like, what do you teach them about being nurturing and kind, and not only just to children, but to other adults, to peers, to friends? So it's an interesting conversation where you take those elements away and you're just like, it's just me. I'm not going to be the mother of your children. I'm also not going to be your wife. Maybe, maybe not.
But then have you ever thought more intrinsically than that? Just like, who are you? Because so like on Red Pill, on Twitter or podcasters, you will hear conversations of women who don't have children are unhappy at a certain point. Their achievements don't, you know, placate the desire for like having a family. That's what their value is. Now, I don't necessarily agree with that wholeheartedly, but that's what everyone is trained and taught.
The sentiment is you're going to end up old and alone.
Yeah.
But most people with children end up old and alone anyway. They die alone. I'm going to make an anecdote of my biological father, who I found on Father's Day this year.
Wow.
That's a whole
long
other
story.
Podcast.
That's a different podcast.
I was about to
however,
say
that's really nice, a beautiful story.
However, when I met him, I just realized it was just a cycle of him and his father. So his father died. My grandfather died by himself. He had three children, if I'm not mistaken. Three children, died by himself in an old age home during COVID. And my biological father was here in Joburg. So I'm from George. Well, not here in Joburg, but in Joburg. And it's about a 2-hour flight. And he wouldn't go home as often. So he would go once a year. And during the pandemic, didn't go at all because of like traveling and stuff. And then eventually just didn't go because he didn't have a job. Long story short, he found out this year, earlier this year, that his dad died 2 years ago.
Oh my God.
And because he was living in a home, they can't keep the bodies until you come and get them. So they just cremated him. And he went back this year only, 2 years after. So very personal, very maybe a little bit traumatic, but that's the extent to which people who do have children also are just abandoned and left, because it doesn't make the fact that you can bear children, doesn't make you a good parent, doesn't make you fit to be a parent. And there's so many people who just have children because it's expected, but then they are horrible parents and they don't even attempt to be better parents for their children.
Can I?
Just go on.
Just the thing about parents dying alone. Not to negate your point, but like I wanted to... So, for example, about 4 months ago, my mother-in-law passed away. And last week, my father-in-law passed away.
Sorry.
And the deaths were two completely different deaths. My mother-in-law had her children, her in-laws, her grandchildren all around her bed. My father-in-law, maybe I think two of the children were there. And that was purely indicative of how he lived his life. And I think that's just, I wanted to make that
perhaps
that
maybe that's the reference. Perhaps maybe,
yeah.
I don't know if that's maybe the reference that people are making, because if you don't really have children, right, then all the people that you are living with or that you care for are kind of in your age range. So they will all die out eventually. And as you grow older, the people that you love will start just dying. So maybe that's what people are referencing, the fact that you don't have a younger generation that really, really checks for you and cares for you in that way.
But I think, as you said about being a bad parent, people check for you the investment that you make to them when they're young. Like, I've been on both my sons from they were born in their mum's bellies, talking to them how I'm talking to you now, cracking jokes, showing them the realest version of me so that they know who their dad is and whatnot, and make sure that we harness a strong friendship. So I know I've got to give guidance and everything, but it's a strong friendship so that my 22-year-old wants to hang out with me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, if I say I'm going to do this, what are you doing? He's like, tag along, dad, and whatnot. He doesn't want to say, no, I'm not coming. Yeah. I check for him regularly, and he checks for me regularly. Mm. And, yeah.
I think what I just thought of something, and it's completely off topic of what you're saying right now, but I just wanted to add, just as much as people would think that it's so devastating that I don't want my own children. And some of it, initially, I had to go to therapy and ask myself, is it rooted in my own perception of motherhood and what I think it should be? And do I think I can't live up to that? So I've done the work. For people who will listen and think, oh, you know, maybe there's other issues there, I've gone through all of the options. I've extended my sense of digging into myself. And I was like, but how can I, out of so many billions of people on this earth, be one of the few people who are actually questioning this thing for real? Because when I ask people, it's just so straightforward for them. But for me, it's like, why can't I just get it? Why can't I just make this decision? However, that doesn't mean that I am not open to mothering. It doesn't mean that it's I'm talking about kids that are going to come from me. That's what I'm saying. So as much as I don't want them, I don't want to bear them, I absolutely love and want to attribute to children's lives. My friends have children, people that I care about have children, and those are the children that I feel I can invest in. All of this uncertainty that I have cannot be geared towards a child that I bear. Do you understand? I would rather support where I feel like I have the means to support, where I have the means to care, the means to love, and have the buy-in, but it's kind of not 100% my buy-in.
I think there's a thing about just like an individual's capacity. And as I said before, I don't think people have been honest about what their capacity is, either in the relationship stage or the family stage, even the family you come from. We're not really honest with anybody, as in like, I ain't got it. And there's always this sort of feel like you have to just fulfill the role regardless of how you feel. So I think it is great that you're saying, I don't want to have children. Also, too many children have been born into this world for people who do not want them and do not honor them. And it creates its own form of chaos because they end up going somewhere and they end up creating harm for other people who are in this world. So I always celebrate it when people just say, I'm okay. And I actually think more men should say that type of thing. More men should get vasectomies. More men should just tap out from creating life, because it's not what they think it is, in terms of just like, yeah, I got a child over there and a child over there. But like, they don't know them. They don't have a relationship. And those children don't grow up to be healthy beings. They don't. And they end up being these lost souls that we have to deal with. We've only got about a minute or so left. Does anyone have any final things that they want to share with all of us on this?
I think I also want to encourage people to talk about the other side. Like you said, you know, with this couple that everyone looks up to, but no one talks about the fact that, you know, we cussed each other out in the lift before we got into this podcast. You know what I mean? But the same for children. I do feel like the marketing around children is just so one-sided. Oh my God, they're the joys of life.
They're hard work.
They're
absolutely hard work.
And it's podcasts like this where people need to be, you know, just be honest about it. Because people who are so uncertain about, do I want this for myself, is just going into it blindly because, it's, of course, it's going to be great, right? And it's not. And the marketing around it is just so fake. People, even people who do end up having children and say, I regret having children, you know. When I hear those stories,
they don't feel like they can say that.
They don't feel like they can say that.
They failed. It's like, it's not that you failed. It's just that's maybe something wasn't meant for you.
But I'd always say that I really, whenever I come across people that are like, I do not want children, I have so much respect for that, because the level of thought that you've just described in terms of getting to the point of saying that I do not want children, 9 out of 10 people who do have children and do want children haven't gone through that. In the same way, when I spoke about me and my wife having children, we were just like, we're going to have kids. There was no deep introspection of why we're going to have kids.
And what that looks like.
What that looks like. We just knew this is what we're going to do. So whenever I hear people say that, I'm like, you have to respect that.
Of course.
Because that's thought. That's thought and energy that's gone into that to say, and it's not an easy thing to say, I don't want children, in terms of everything that you said on how you're then judged. So like, how can you not respect that?
I'm always a champion for people that think differently anyway. So sometimes I think the biggest part of friendship is acceptance. And if you meet a friend that just thinks of the world differently,
amen.
Instead of questioning them, just accept who they are.
And learn from them as well, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Also, I think like a crying baby for 3 months in a row will just destroy my relationship with my partner.
Yep.
I just know it. Yeah. I know it.
Yourself too.
Yeah.
If you see me after not having slept 7 hours, if I get 3 hours sleep in, oh, I'm a different person.
Oh, yo. One time we were flying from Joburg to Cape Town and it was an early start. Don't think this person didn't speak to me for 3 hours.
Yeah, I can't.
Like, at all. Not a word for 3 hours, yeah?
I can't.
Then we get there and like I'm trying to navigate, get into the hotel, just stuff. And she's just not participating.
Yeah.
She zoned out.
So you know what you can't do?
Yeah.
Is the school run and you pick up the child. Like, Dad, so today,
this one,
the firing,
and the story
the
is so
firing.
Long, and the story is so long. Get to so the long. Point,
yeah,
get to the point.
All right, on that note, thank you so much for listening to us. We have to get out of here, we've overstayed our welcome, but thank you so much for listening to the Dope Black Dads podcast. Please subscribe wherever you subscribe and watch us, whether it be on YouTube or wherever you're listening on your podcast. Make sure you follow us on Instagram. We are nearing 200,000 followers. Wow. I don't know how we did it, but clearly we're doing something right. We're also on TikTok, but YouTube is our main home at this point in time. Special thanks to everyone at Spotify, but also our wonderful guests, Nee, Scarlett, Darwood, and Romanta. We appreciate you all, and please come and join us again. Make it
100%.
Normal. Please.
Yeah, I'm through.
Oh, I appreciate it. All right, cool. I'll speak to you all later. Thank you.
Peace. Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50. Luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.